Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And I think Jack Black is the one who's like, we just saw Coupon. Yeah, it was a movie.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
That's me. Hello.
Yeah, that's Tim over there.
Yeah, hey.
I'm here. And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sherr.
Hello, everyone.
And today we're going to do a mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
Of Solo.
Solo-pod.
A Star Wars Solo-pod? Story.
Wookie-pod.
A Star Wars story. Is it, though? Is it really a Star Wars story?
I guess
it kind of is.
I guess. Oh, I think it definitely is.
Yeah.
It really definitely...
I got beefs with this
it
movie.
It definitely really tries to make it a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Like, it tries very hard. Like, it reminds me of The Hobbit, in a way.
Oh.
Where it's like, let's shoehorn as much Lord of the Rings as we can into this
That's
thing.
It's
a matrix connecting.
Well, I'll tell
everything.
You this, and this is non-spoilery, and this could kick us off. I'll just go on the record as saying I really, really like this movie. But if they do that Hobbit bullshit, which I think they're going to,
mm-hmm.
and make this three movies,
mm-hmm.
then fuck that. I'm not a fan of that.
You're not alone. I think this is a very interesting, divisive movie because I see a lot of people who's like, I don't get it. I loved it. And I see a lot of people going, I didn't like it. And it's sitting at around 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. I think you can land on either side of liking or disliking it and find camaraderie out there. But unlike The Last Jedi, it doesn't feel as venomous when we discuss this movie. It seems like maybe it's because this is a one-off movie that feels more harmless than The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. which was more of a canon kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty to enjoy here. Before we get into spoilers, I think the guy whose name I'm not going to pronounce, who's playing Han Solo, does a great job.
Is it Arlen Ehrenreich?
It's Alden.
Alden Ehrenreich.
I always just imagine the character that Guy Pearce is playing in Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah. Killian?
Aldridge Killian.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. He does not look like Harrison Ford. Mm. He does not sound like Harrison Ford. But he has done... He has somehow captured the charisma, the tone of the character. The personality posture, if you will, in an eerie way.
Yes. There's little mannerisms. And you know, I thought it was just my nostalgia playing. But I went back, because they were on network TV, and I saw A New Hope and Empire, and it's uncanny how much, especially the young Han Solo, that this dude really imitates.
Yeah,
there's certain times where he looks up at the Millennium Falcon, gets that look in his eyes, doing the pointing and stuff like that. Yeah, he nails like those mannerisms.
I think he did. I think Donald Glover is great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost out of good things to say.
Yeah.
So you did not like this movie.
I thought that. No. I tweeted out that this movie feels like that second time through the date in Groundhog Day where Bill Murray's trying to hit all the same beats with the snowball fight and the snowman and the jokes, but it just doesn't have the same magic. It's not.
Well, these kids are throwing snowballs at us. That's going to be crazy. Here we go.
Yeah.
How many kids?
Lots of kids. Millions of kids. Lots of kids. It feels like that to me. And I'm not going to say anything negative about anybody who loved. Because I definitely can see, I think, what people were enjoying and loving here. And there is a carefree, low stakes kind of enjoyability about this romp that I think is a welcome turn after The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. and how exhausting the discussion about The Last Jedi has become. So I was welcoming a somewhat harmless adventure.
Right.
I do think the train thing, specifically the way it kind of turns and eventually gravity boots are involved, that whole sequence, I thought that was pretty badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I guess I want to, for some reason, go out of my way this time to say plenty of good things. There are a couple of musical moments, score-wise,
yes.
that I thought worked
yep.
really well.
Yep.
And then there are just a couple of beats that they're going for that work really well for me, whereas most of them felt kind of flat. I felt like I was watching a reunion of Full House. mm-hmm. Have you seen any Fuller House episodes?
No.
I have, because my wife enjoys it. And it's a lot like what this movie was.
Interesting. What'd you think, Chris?
I like this okay. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I do debate with myself, like, whether or not this is a movie I'd watch if it didn't have Star Wars attached to it.
Mm.
And that's nothing that a Star Wars story can really do. Maybe it can. Try to stand alone without some sort of connective tissue or whatever. But imagine if you saw this movie advertised and it wasn't Solo, but it was somebody like Solo and it was a heist movie and you saw the trailers that you saw. I mean, it would not be something appetizing to watch.
No,
really.
Especially with those trailers. I totally agree with you.
I kept thinking how much it felt like it was part of the Riddick universe. Like, it could be a Chronicles of Riddick story.
Yeah. Or like, Valerian.
Or Valerian. I still haven't watched Valerian, so I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
You're right. And yet, where this movie fails the most for me is how far out of its way it goes to try and remind you it's a Star Wars movie, specifically a Han Solo movie. There are just too many beats. I saw somebody on Twitter call it a filmmaking by checkboxing,
mm-hmm.
Where it's sort of like we need to have, oh, we got to have Han meeting Lando. We got to have Han meeting Chewie. And I'm not going to spoil anything else. You know, both of those characters mm-hmm. are in the movie, but it just feels like a lot of it is, we can check that off. We can check that off.
In that way, it's like a biopic, right?
It really is.
It's like a Ron Howard biopic.
Yeah,
really is. And what's frustrating, honestly, again, we'll get into spoilers, but the way this movie ends and where the character of Han is morally, personality-wise, is criminal to me
mm-hmm.
because it completely robs the character of Han Solo and his arc in Star Wars.
Oh.
Because he's a fucking scoundrel in Star Wars, and when he turns good and makes that decision to come back at the end, he's becoming a hero. And this movie makes him a hero at 20 years old.
But then he's going off to do smuggler shit. Like, immediately.
He makes the morally right choice, like, three different times at the end of this movie.
You think that you can get Han Solo in A New Hope, who has never made or rarely made morally correct decisions? I think you have to have that in his background.
Only if you're doing a three-movie arc like The Hobbit, where you're going to try and break him down later.
And like we said, I think that's where they're going, and I think that's exactly what happens. I think he is this character at the start, but we also know that from the events of this movie, there's some things that can set him up to be real, like, down on life and down on... I mean, he'll be cynical about a lot of things if... the way this movie is going, the way this arc is going, completes. And it could be to the point where we see him in A New Hope, he has eventually lost all of that sort of, like, I don't want to be a good guy anymore because...
And I can buy that, too, by the way. I can, if they stop it right here, and then I watch this and A New Hope right next to each other, I can buy that passage of time without having to see two other movies about it.
No, I think he needs to be... I got to save most of my thoughts on this for the spoiler section because the way that I would quote unquote fix this movie for Jeremy's taste, I have to talk about shit that's spoilery. I just wish that they sold me a one-off movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it's performing, by the way, this movie's not a bomb. Don't believe the
headlines.
Yeah,
no shit, man.
It didn't live up to expectations,
yeah.
and that's being spun as a disappointing bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But it is making lower than expectations enough, you can ask the question, will they end up actually making Solo 2?
Mm.
But
I
you sold me a one-off movie, and then you showed me a film where you're clearly planning a three-movie arc.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating, because I want to be able to go from this movie to A New Hope and have the character make sense, and that's not possible.
And yeah, I think that it is fixable in that aspect of taking out one section specifically that just feels so out of place. But you know, we'll get to it.
Now, this movie made roughly $100 million mm-hmm. over the weekend.
It's terribly disappointing.
Don't know what the Memorial Day 4 day is going to be, but before the summer started, I sort of speculated, would Deadpool's second week beat this one? Obviously nowhere near, because Deadpool 2 had its own problems.
Mm-hmm.
Even Deadpool 2 is not performing the way people thought it would.
Mm.
So it ended up making about half of what Solo did in its first weekend or whatever. As to the bomb part of it, you're right that not now can we say it's a bomb. But it did cost $250 million and probably an untold amount of other money on marketing. And it is currently, it's not everywhere worldwide yet. It still needs to hit a lot of places in Europe and everything like that. That movie needs to make about $500 million or more worldwide. And so it could be a bomb.
So let me ask you this. Do you think Disney is likely to treat this as a loss leader, considering all of the Star Wars and Marvel shit that's doing well, and go, well, we still want to tell the rest of this story? Or do you think they may not make more Solo films based on this? And if that happens, does this film end with the character in a satisfactory place for you?
Yeah, they easily could do this as loss leader. The question is, is Disney that in love with money that they can't, they don't want any kind of loss or anything.
Right.
I mean, they can look at A Wrinkle in Time the same way.
Sure.
They could make the rest of that trilogy with no problem because they've made so much money on everything else, but will they?
Yeah.
Is
I
that
doubt
a trilogy?
It.
Well, yeah.
Supposedly.
You have A Wind in the Door and you have A Swiftly Tilting Planet.
Oh, yeah.
And you have The Crooked Penis.
And The Crooked Penis. Madeline Lingle's, like, Anne Rice years.
It actually
sounds more like a Sue Grafton novel or something. C is for Crooked Penis.
Oh, man. All right, let's grade this bitch and get into spoilers.
All right. I'm going to give this a solid C.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with B+, and I thought about A-. So I'll give a little bit of context with this. I did see this with my son, 10-year-old
mm-hmm.
son,
mm-hmm.
and it was delightful to see it with him.
Not
now,
bad.
I think I would have liked it almost as much if I had just seen it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, like, he's ate up by Star Wars. He knows stuff that I didn't know. I had to ask him questions about this movie afterwards.
Awesome.
A major question, because he's seen Rebels and he's seen Clone Wars,
well, yeah,
all that stuff.
You would have to ask.
But he was saying, like, okay, this part's coming up, because he had seen the trailer so many times. He's like, you know, it's in the trailer, it's not a spoiler. When the Millennium Falcon, like, hits the TIE fighter and, like, bumps it out of the way and it goes crashing in there, he's like, it's coming up. And when it did, he's like, yes!
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And we were just, like, you know, nudging and laughing the whole time. So that may have influenced me. But I think I would like this story, and I've replayed it in my brain, the story itself, what I liked, what I didn't. I still would go with the B+.
That's fine. You're always going to be entitled to your opinion. I'm actually glad we've got at least one of the three of us repping the I liked it side.
Yeah.
I'm with Chris. I'm going to go solid C. I thought about a C+, just because I do have such a narrow kind of grading window. But this is not the kind of movie I can recommend you spend theater dollars on, or that you need to see on a big screen. And it's one of these that, in hindsight, if I had waited for Blu-ray and seen it at home, probably would have liked it a whole letter grade more.
Hmm.
It disappointed me more than it thrilled me.
Interesting. Do you remember what you gave Last Jedi? It was low, wasn't
something
it?
It was probably somewhere in the C+ B minus range.
Huh.
Because there is a lot that movie's more frustrating because it's so many peaks and valleys.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's like you've got that hyperspace ship crash thing, which is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, and then you've got floating space Leia, which is just annoying to me.
You get fuel.
Whereas this movie, the Solo movie, has neither those peaks nor those valleys. It's just more of a straight Indiana highway.
Yeah, this brings up another question with the sort of the disappointing returns of this movie. And when we go back to Ant-Man, where another director change happened, where the Ant-Man did okay, but would this have done worse under the Lord and Miller direction?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. You could see, similar to the Ant-Man, where you see the flashes of Edgar Wrightness in there.
Mm-hmm.
I could spot a few Lord and Miller type of like dialogues, especially between Lando and Han or Han.
Oh God, damn it! Just do the spoiler goddamn noise so we can start talking. Finish your thought.
I'm saying Lord and Miller, they would have done their thing that they did for Lego Movie and for 21 Jump Street and stuff like that, elevated the material to where you're going to get a lot more word of mouth than arguably the Ron Howard. You could definitely see the Ron Howard parts too, where it's just middle of the road. You know?
I understand where Disney's coming from, that they don't want to make this some completely detached, like jokey, whatever, but I think it really needed it, man.
Yes, I agree.
It really needed
it.
It needed to
be more Guardians of the Galaxy and less Rogue One.
Yeah.
And they went more Rogue One and less Guardians of the Galaxy in tone.
So it is an interesting debate. I mean, Disney could be looking up in their offices going, well, just imagine what it would have been if it was that Lord and Miller version.
Yeah. They would have said it would have made less. Right?
Yeah, they probably would have said $60 million or whatever. But I don't know, man. After a disappointing run like this, don't you...
Yeah, and Lord Miller has a fucking track record.
Yeah,
it's not like they're just making duds out there.
As does Ron Howard, but you know,
but Ron Howard's track record the last 15 years is not.
You're right.
You know, it's not. It's the middle of the road. Yeah. It's vanilla stuff.
Yeah,
no,
it's stuff that's just fine. My friend Jason asked me, "I'm going to see Solo tomorrow. What will I think?" And I was like, "It's fine. It's a movie. It's fine. It is. I'm not gonna get angry when we do the Sins video.
It's like Mr. Show when everybody is court mandated to watch Coupon the movie, and then like everybody has to come out with their reviews. And I think Jack Black is the one who's like, "We just saw Coupon. Yeah, it was a movie."
All right. So are we in spoiler territory?
Let's do it.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader.
What?
She's the sister and the daughter. They just
no, 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 no. I'm reading the books.
New spoilers.
They need to stop rewriting and retconning shit with these new movies. Mm-hmm. I was annoyed enough in Rogue One when they were like, hey, we can forgive that really glaring flaw in the Death Star design by writing it into the past.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've done it with Billy Dee Williams' mispronunciation of Han.
Yeah.
Why did that bother you so much?
Because you're forgiving a movie mistake with a whole movie.
Was that a Billy Dee Williams mistake?
From what I understand, I looked this up. From what I understand, he had read the script before he ever heard anyone pronounce it, and no one ever corrected him. And he only says it a couple different times in the movie. If there was a reason for it, it should have been in that movie or in the re-release or in the revised version, or in the commentary on any of those versions, or in the interview with fucking Leonard Maltin that he did that came out on the VHS. It should not be new news to me in 2018 that, oh, he's always said it that way because he likes to needle him. Isn't that cute? Wink, wink.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It sets up the adversarial relationship like from the very beginning.
I don't give a shit.
I agree. I like your train of thought as far as retconning and all that. I just don't think this is that big of a deal.
No, it's not anywhere near as big a deal as the Death Star.
The Death Star thing was an entire thing.
It was where this movie officially lost me at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like if you give me a few of these Han Solo things and not all of them, I might like this movie a whole lot more, but you beat me over the head with it. You beat me over the head with so much Star Wars. There's a Boba Fett statue in this room that goes unexplained. There's a goddamn Darth Maul surprise twist that makes no fucking sense.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
And is basically a middle finger to anyone that hasn't watched all of that cartoon series.
Let's talk about Darth Maul, or as he is credited in this movie, just plain Maul.
Yeah, he drops the
Yeah, drop the Darth. Okay, so after I watched this movie with my brother was like, that was weird at the end. He put in Darth Maul. That doesn't seem right. And I was like, it isn't. So I did some math. Mm. I was like, okay, so first off, we know in A New Hope, Harrison Ford is 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we give him some leeway, let's say he's in his 40s or whatever. Now we've got to start doing some math here, because Darth Maul was in Phantom Menace, and this is well before A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So he dies in A Phantom Menace, and then we've got baby Anakin in that one,
mm-hmm.
and he turns into Hayden Christensen. We're supposed to believe he's like, what, 18, 19, maybe 20.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It, by the time that is. So it, about 10 years have passed since Phantom Menace to Attack of the Clones.
Mm-hmm.
By the time in Revenge of the Sith, where Luke and Leia are you know, given birth to by Natalie Portman,
mm-hmm.
And are, you know, are given their names as they come out of her vagina,
it writes it in Sharpie on their heads.
Exactly.
Not unlike the way Han Solo gets his name in this movie.
Yeah, exactly. There's about a 20-year gap between Sith and A New Hope,
right?
Because Luke is about 20
right.
years old at that point. So Maul is not Darth Maul yet in this one, where Han Solo is about 18, 19, 20, somewhere around there, right? Mm-hmm. So you say if he's not even Darth Maul yet, and Phantom Menace hasn't even started.
No, he's okay. You've got it backwards. He's dropped the Darth Maul. You're right, but you're wrong. He should be 70 some years old at the end of this movie,
right?
But he's not. But in that cartoon that you haven't watched, they declared Darth Maul didn't die at the end of Phantom Menace.
Oh.
He fell down that hole, and they put robot legs on his torso, and then he became a criminal leader of the planet where Boba Fett is from.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Fuck you.
Okay, so even still, he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
He should be 70 some years old at the end of this Solo movie.
Yeah.
And he's not.
So now there's
who the fuck cares, right? Yeah. Cuz Chewie's 190 years old apparently. Yeah.
So, okay, so they're saying this happens somewhere around where Rogue One does then.
Yes, it's right before Rogue One.
Yes.
Okay.
It's positioned between Revenge of the Sith and Rogue One.
Okay. So, yeah, I had to watch a fucking cartoon before I watched this movie.
Well, that's the thing, is that this movie is officially jumping the shark when it comes to fan service. This is not something the average Star Wars fan knows. If you tell me the average Star Wars fan has watched that goddamn cartoon, I'm going to slap you across the face.
I agree.
Because the average Star Wars fan has watched that cartoon is under the age of 18.
I agree. What I took it as, and I agree, that whole thing bothered the shit out of
okay.
me. And that's one of the things I had to ask my son
right,
as we were
going
back.
Because he's seen the show.
Because he's seen it. What I took it as is, how the fuck did this happen? We're definitely going to do a sequel.
We're going
to
explain
to do
it
that,
later.
Explain
God damn it.
It.
Why do we keep making movies like this?
Either way pisses me off, because I don't want to see a sequel.
Why can't we just have a story be contained?
I agree. I don't want to watch those cartoons, and I don't want to see a sequel to this
all right.
movie.
It also means that Darth Maul will fucking die, because he's nowhere to be found in anything else after this.
He actually already has
but
in the cartoon.
But if you've been cut in fucking half and fall down that far, and you can still live from that, then there's nothing that should kill you.
Yes.
Space Leia.
See now? Yeah, exactly.
No, okay, before we get too far into the actual plot, I just want to... I have not fully rattled off the reasons this movie annoys me in terms of trying too hard to be Star Wars. So I feel like this movie is saying, you want to see where Han Solo got his name? We got you covered.
Yeah.
You want to see where he got the Millennium Falcon or first flew it? We got you covered.
That's
you want
cool.
to see how the Millennium Falcon went from an awesome looking ship to a beat up dump? We got you covered. You want to see the actual card game later where he ultimately wins it from Lando? We got you covered. Do you see where I'm going with
I know.
This?
I liked those last three.
But it's like
the whole giving the name thing was so ham-handed. That was some bullshit.
It was.
I enjoyed,
or hand-handed.
Ah, nice.
Hey-oh.
I enjoyed seeing the interactions between Alden Ehrenreich and Luke, and Donald Glover. Lucas Glover, a fucking golfer?
Yeah. What I was going to say. Crispin Glover.
Donald Glover, I thought was awesome. I think the chemistry was great.
The chemistry's fine.
I like how the ship changes hands.
Did I need to see all the Han Solo history in this one? Especially since you're clearly planning to give me two more. Why not show me the first card game where he doesn't win the ship, and then later he gets to fly the ship, but then...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's where it's tonally confusing, whether it's setting it up to be a sequel or whether it's a standalone thing.
Exactly.
The one thing I'll give Rogue One is that everybody fucking dies at the end.
Well, that movie is self-contained.
Yeah. I didn't like that. I thought that was way over the top. You could have some tie-ins besides that awesome Vader scene, but that's where this movie is confused within itself, whether it wants to be a solo movie itself or whether it wants to set up this whole thing.
I think where Jeremy is coming from on this, and this is I agree. I'm not a big fan of like doing the check mark type of thing. Is that everything? Nothing feels organic. Everything feels like we're trying to get to this point to show you what it is, just like a biopic does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying, you know, and then like the card game itself, it's set up to look like Texas Hold'em.
Yeah,
but
it's
not. It's some alien
baccarat
type of thing.
Or something like that. Yeah,
and like, and by the end of it, we find out that Lando's been cheating, and Han's like, I don't even know how I even got that green whatever, and you're like, well, I don't even know the rules of this game, so I'm not even really, I don't even really know what you're talking about at this point. I mean, I think there's a point in that first card game where they show him with a little thing on his sleeve or whatever, but. I don't get the rules of the game. You just show me some like colorful alien Magic the Gathering type of cards. I'm like, hey, whatever.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The Kessel Run is another one where it's like it comes out of just,
hey, you want to actually see the Kessel Run? We got you covered.
But it was thrilling.
I don't even understand it. What? I still don't know what the Kessel Run is.
They're going through the Kessel system.
Is it parsec a time? Is it a distance?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Then why show me everything without explaining any of it?
I'll remember too, when we did a Sins video of A New Hope, our editors threw in, this will be done in such and such less parsecs. and somebody wrote on there that parsecs were a measure of distance, not time. And I was like, then what is it? How do you make a run that is shorter?
Yeah, but he does do it shorter.
Well, because he cuts through the whatever.
No,
but he's phrasing it as being a measure of
as
time.
As a measure of time. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is like, it's, you can't say, man, this ship is fast. We did a run in less mileage than the other.
Google says the official definition of parsec is a unit of distance used in astronomy equal to about 3.26 light years.
Yeah, Wikipedia is wrong as always.
But also even that is distance.
Yeah, it's distance.
So it's basically saying I'm the fastest in the galaxy because I only went 5 feet and you went a whole mile.
I agree.
I
the Kessel Run itself was thrilling to me.
The flying of the ship was fun.
Well, here's the thing. It might be exciting to see the Kessel Run, but is the Kessel Run such a known entity in the universe that Han later in A New Hope says, "What do you think? This ship made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs."
Yeah.
That sounds like something that everybody flies through all the time.
Yeah.
And we're told pretty early on that this is someplace nobody ever fucking goes.
This is an impossible mission.
Yeah.
So how many people have actually even gone on? Like, they're going to make a Luke origin story, and we're going to literally see him bullseyeing Womp Rats.
Yeah.
You are right. You're right? Totally right. Yes.
That's why this movie annoys me, is because I could have more fun with it if you weren't tripping over yourself trying to give me these fan service moments. Mm-hmm. Like, there are 5 glory shots of those goddamn dice in the first 3 minutes of this movie.
Yeah,
and
no
those
kidding.
Dice have not mattered until The Last Jedi. We saw them once in the original trilogy,
mm-hmm.
and now they are like the totem to end all totems. They mean everything. Since when did Han and Chewie and the Falcon become the heart and soul of everything Star Wars was?
Mm-hmm.
How many shots do we get of a furry hand and a human hand together on that controller moving it? Every time I saw that, I heard, "Friends."
One thing that I am glad that they did in this, though, is they show Han actually speaking Chewie's language.
I agree. That was cool.
Which is something that we talked about in that MCU, the Phase 3, with Groot.
Yeah.
How Rocket knows Groot and can understand him, but somehow can't relay back to him simple messages
right.
and everything. So I was glad that he actually did that. Of course, he speaks English after that.
Completely. It never goes back to him.
Yeah.
But also, was Chewie just like down there eating fools left and right until Han showed up?
I think so, yeah.
That is dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a dark backstory for Chewie. He's 190 and for maybe God knows how many years has just been eating prisoners.
Yeah.
To survive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe not even because he's angry. Maybe just because that's how they feed him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's dark.
It is dark. I liked the train thing. I thought that was a good sequence. It's probably the best part of this whole movie.
Yeah, especially when it turns on its side. I don't know why you designed the train to do that, but I'm glad you did, because when the bad guys have gravity boots and the good guys don't, like that whole thing, I was pretty thrilled.
Well, and the
good
guys are using some sort of like magnet thing, right? Aren't they? Don't they have like a cable of some
sort? They have something that they keep holding on to, and then later they lose that ability and they're hanging from the cords that are up on the ship.
Yeah, that was the best part for me, and it had a lot of stakes to it, because there's characters played by like actual like well-known actors in there, and they're getting killed.
Everything. Did you know that was Jon Favreau, by the way? That was
I did not,
but I legit thought it was Bradley Cooper. That's how much Rocket Raccoon
exactly.
I got from that
I
character.
Did too. I was sitting there going, that it makes sense that that'd be Bradley Cooper there.
Like, I'm sitting there going, and again, I'm not actually angry about this, but I'm like, Disney. You're Star Wars and Marvel. Why did you just make a Rocket Raccoon character? Like, I wanted to like him. He was very charming. But almost everything likable about him was the character trait Rocket Raccoon has already.
Yeah.
I don't know. Plus, then you just kill him.
Well, you kill him and Thandi Newton, man. Casually kill Thandi Newton.
Did she have to die? I really don't think I understood the heist enough.
She was surrounded by these bots that were out there, and the train was fast approaching that spot. So either she had to blow herself up,
or everyone was going to die.
Yeah, because they were the bots or the droids were.
I don't think I understood that they literally had to blow the track to lift that car they were harnessing off. I don't think I understood that, because when she blew herself up, I'm like, why did you do that?
Well, yeah, I think it was a time sensitive issue, because they did uncouple everything
right.
on those things, so they should have been able to just lift it
unless
straight
up. It was like something underneath was clutching the track, like the monorail. What else, boys?
So you have Woody Harrelson in this too. We haven't even mentioned.
Yeah,
he's got a terrible haircut.
Yeah, terrible haircut. His character reminds you that you're in a heist movie, and there's so many double crosses that are in store and everything. There's a spirit of this that I really want to love and everything. I just don't think they ever quite get there. Like, you're kind of expecting the double cross and everything. I don't know. I want more heist than Star Wars in this, almost. I want more of that than actual Star Wars. Because like we said, the Star Wars seems shoehorned in. By the end of it, you know, he runs into some rebels, some pre-rebels, I guess, who are like,
yeah,
you know, we're not really pirates, but, you know.
I'll tell you this. I accept all, and I actually kind of agree with all of the criticisms, especially that you guys are making. It worked for me, though. I kind of liked seeing that this source of energy is fuel. What was fuel. What helped let's build
just,
this rebellion.
Let's just call it fuel.
Yeah, fuel.
I think they do, don't they?
Yeah, it's hyper fuel. They double down on the fuel. You want to prove for damn sure that Han Solo shoots first? We got you covered.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
What I was trying to explain this to Dicer over Twitter, and I'm not sure I did a good enough job, but I think this movie would have been played a lot better for me, at least story arc wise, for Han, if he had been the one instead of Kira at the end that was secretly going to betray everyone and cash in for himself. Like, they gave her that reveal of the I'm actually selfish and in it for myself all along, and I feel like that's the Han I want at the start of A New Hope. Now, maybe they're going to get him there over the next couple of movies. Maybe they're going to, like Aaron was saying, maybe they're going to break him down over the next couple of movies and leave him, like, angry or whatever. I thought.
Did you ever see him, like, actually angry and down on life in A New Hope, though?
No, I mean, I'm not asking.
He's a scoundrel,
him to be...
but, like, he's
but in
like,
this
always
movie,
dealing,
he's
dealing
like,
with
oh,
Java.
You're going to give birth to the rebellion. I'll just give you the $100 million worth of fuel that the whole movie has been about me trying to get.
Yes. No, I know.
Heart of gold.
It sets up him as being an ultimate hero. And yes, he gets back into this life of crime and everything, but he's always had, it looks like he's had some fun with it, even up until New Hope, where he's, you know, he's making deals with Greedo and or shooting Greedo and making deals with other guys and trying to get out of Jabba's clutches and all that stuff. And I think the movie does a very good job of Alden Ehrenreich saying, like, talking his way out of things, because that's how the original Han was for me.
But Han in A New Hope only gets involved because of money. Only.
Initially.
Well, initially, yes. That's the point of that movie and his arc.
Well, yeah, and then this one he only gets involved because of money initially, and then he becomes an ultimate hero.
It's the same arc.
We've got two things that are opposed here. One is it is okay for Han to be this character and his motivations are fine in this movie. It's just that we don't know how he gets to A New Hope. Because we don't know what these other couple of movies supposedly are going to be doing, and we don't like the idea that there's three movies.
Exactly, yeah, because so, they're going to cram in Jabba, they're going to cram in this Crimson Dawn or whatever.
Which, by the way...
I read about them in Times Magazine. Did I just steal your line?
You did, but that's fine.
I'm sorry.
That's what I kept thinking during the entire...
Yeah, what were you thinking? Die Hard.
Die Hard. Whenever they say Crimson Dawn, I would think
Asian Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, man. I didn't know that we were both thinking that same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole movie, I kept thinking, what a silly name. Like, eventually, they're gonna get sillier, right? Because with the original trilogy, we had the Empire. And what were they called in the prequels?
The Senate and then the...
They were like the Republic or whatever. And then, like, in Force Awakens, they were the First Order. We have a Crimson Dawn.
Well, there isn't
Dawn.
Really any... That's one of the big problems with the prequels, is there's not really any opposition. The opposition is just forming.
Right. It's the Sith originally, and then
And with the Emperor, the Emperor is, like, making all these moves to make it where the Republic is the bad guys, but there's a good Republic.
Right.
So there's not really any, like... Everything is... In the prequels, they try to keep making it like, oh, like, we don't know the Emperor is the fucking bad guy in here and everything. They keep making, who could have done that? Oh, it's impossible to know. Solo does have prequelitis, though. There's a lot of prequelitis in this.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as stupid as the prequels do with all the, like, just the garish candy-colored sets and blue screen.
The opposite.
Yeah.
It was a perfectly fine screen because, you know, when they do come out into the light, it really popped on the screen. But that first scene, that chase scene getting off of the prison planet or whatever it was so dimly lit, I could barely tell what the fuck was going on.
At first, I thought, okay, I'm in a theater that still has the 3D polarizers, but I have heard this from almost everybody now.
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to think, yes, it's that dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God help those people who actually did see this through 3D polarizers, because you probably didn't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That whole thing. You probably thought the lamp was busted or some shit.
Yeah. It was definitely dark in mine as well.
Yeah.
And I know there were plenty of times when it was light because my screen was dirty and I was distracted by it frequently. Also, I knew going into the movie that Darth Maul was going to be in it.
Oh, really?
This time it wasn't spoiled by somebody who hates me. It was just a fan who, I guess, thinks I see the movie the very first showing and wanted to talk about Darth Maul.
Oh, huh.
But I still think I would have hated that thing's guts if I had seen it. Like, I might have hated the Darth Maul reveal even more if I had not been spoiled.
It's just, it's totally thrown in there. Again, the only reasons would be A, super fan service for the psychos.
And we need a villain for another movie.
Or setting up a sequel. I'm like, God damn it, I just wanted to enjoy this story because I did, man. I love Donald Glover. I know a lot of people don't, but I loved the robot. I loved the L3 character.
He was fucking that robot, right?
Yes.
All right.
She says it works. Like, how does that work?
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
So this is where we definitely do confirm that Lando is pansexual because he's hitting on Han hard. And then, you know, he's hitting on these girls at the card table and he's fucking his robot. Yeah.
He just wants to fuck everything,
he
right?
He wants to fuck everything, like baby.
Silicon Valley, where they had that episode where the guy built that, like it was like a torso, basically, yeah. of an artificial intelligence or whatever. And you find out that he's very creepy with it and everything. And there's a point where one of the guys, he's like a software designer, is like, after the guy leaves, he's like, that guy's totally fucking that robot, right?
And immediately I was like, yeah, totally. That's the dude from High Fidelity.
Yeah.
The other clerk.
Yeah.
I always forget his name.
Yeah, I think he's also the au pair in Jerry Maguire.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
He is, and I always forget his name.
Au pair.
Yeah. So, yeah, ultimately, if you're like Barrett, you should go watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Full on. Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Don't
oh, man.
Take a 10-year-old.
The way that I watched this movie, maybe it was my mindset. Maybe it was the company that I had. I just had a freaking blast. I enjoyed the performances. I thought the action was well done, except it was dimly lit and everything. I think Lando really added some spice and flavor to this. I thought Kira was fine.
Yeah. See, you know what? That's another thing. I don't really feel like they are a couple in this. I mean, I know that they break them up right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And we never get that whole, like, he's been waiting 3 years to go back to the home planet to get the love of his life thing. I never really got that. And plus, Emilia Clarke is a miscast, I think, a lot of times. When you put her at this point, she's so associated with Game of Thrones. She's such a regal presence on that show. It's distracting, and I know that's bad because I don't want anybody to be typecast,
mm-hmm.
but there's just something about it. Like, she's better than him, you know? It's like there's no reason they should ever be together.
I was also a little, like, I know someone's going to point out the book that explains this, but it seems like Han Solo should have found a way sooner than 3 years to break free from his soldiering.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he leaves, but the only way he can get off this prison planet is to enlist as an Empire soldier, right?
I thought that was cool, by the way. The fact that he fought for the Empire was a wrinkle that I didn't know about. I don't know if it's referenced anywhere in the movies or anything like that.
Not in the, in the movies.
I just feel like this is another shoehorn to me. I get it, but it doesn't feel like that's something he would have ever done.
Well, and what's weird is it's very much like, now I don't know who ripped off who, but it's very much like Nathan Fillion's character's past in Firefly.
Yeah.
Because
he
had fought for whatever the Empire is and that before he became a pirate. Anyway, my point is 3 years and they literally had you on camera 24/7. Like, you can't sneak away from, like, this is the love of your life. Like, you bawled your eyes out that you couldn't leave together and you, I mean, the planet looks pretty muddy. There's millions of soldiers. You can't sneak away.
And you can't steal a ship. That was the whole
reason. Well, he sneaks away as soon as he meets Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Well, he never thought to sneak away on his own?
Yeah.
In 3 years?
He could have stolen a ship easily.
I don't think
that
he
was
really liked her.
That was the whole point, was he needed a ship to get back.
Yeah.
And, like, Empire's got plenty of ships.
Yeah. Oh, I could steal one? I mean, he was on a prison planet for a reason. It's not like theft had never entered. Anyway, it frustrated me.
You're right. It's in some book that we haven't read.
I'm sure it is.
Some cartoon.
They put a chip in his brain, and if he left, they'd have blown him up like Suicide Squad.
It was some cartoon that was on Nickelodeon. It was like a one-off. You had to go in the cereal box and put in the code.
It was in the Christmas special.
It was in the Christmas special. Like, if you watch the Ewoks Blu-ray, there's an Easter egg. So, yeah. And if you're like Jeremy or me, and God help you.
Yeah, seriously. You do. I mean, it's enough just to get through the day, yeah, if that's the case.
I would say maybe wait for it on Blu-ray. It's not mandatory that you see this. But if you're like me or Jeremy, you're just kind of like, eh, if I have time, I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's not the kind of movie I would say don't ever waste your time. I would just say, you know, think twice before you plunk down $12.50 on a matinee.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
It's pricey out there.
I'm paying for that bigger seat now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally.
Well, damn it. You know what? After that mall thing, I feel like the mall thing in Dunkirk. anything involved with mall, moly, anything like that. I just don't want to. I don't want to fucking deal with it anymore. The mall, the
not even M-A-L-L or no, anything.
No,
like
if
that.
There's an if mall there rats. If there is some questionable mall somewhere
Richard
that comes
mall?
A M-A-L. Oh yeah, or Richard Mall. M-A-L-L, if it's scenes from a mall, we're never doing that.
Gretchen Mall.
Oh, there's
nice.
Probably something that I'm going to fuck up on. That.
Mall Flanders?
See, no, we were saying Mall Flanders, exactly. You might as well. It's like, I love the Ned gets opens up his leftorium. It's like, you might want to call me Mall Flanders. But yeah, I mean, after watching that movie and being in the car with my brother, I sat there and figured out the math, and I was like, there's no way this motherfucker, if he was still alive, where the fuck was he in those other years? Like, he's just like, fuck this, I don't want to be a Darth anything anymore.
That's right.
Fuck this, I'm going to go to some other planet so that the Emperor can't see me.
That's what happened.
Fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah, man, I'm with you.
He is a bastard.
It's terrible.
Anyway, that will do it for this mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
Yeah, Solo, a Star Wars Story. Keep going to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins. SoundCloud and Twitter, and give us your thoughts on this episode. What did you think about Solo, a Star Wars Story? Tell me.
I love having to say that
exactly.
Whole fucking thing.
Exactly. It's like, what did you think about Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying? And
do you remember? I think I've said this before, but when the Golden Globes were being announced.
Oh, Borat.
And Borat was in there. And the full name is like Borat. Make cultural observation for make glorious union of
they had
Kazakhstan.
They had to say that whole thing.
Thing is so great.
Yeah. But anyway, go to those things. Tell us what you think. I get the sense that there's going to be a lot of people who are like, I was disappointed, mm-hmm. but I'm going to get a few people who are like, I really love this. This was fun. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that. And even I had, you know, some fun with this movie. It's not like a total loss, but
agreed.
Anyway, that'll do it for this mini-pod. It's Chris Atkinson, Jeremy Scott, and Barrett Shear. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Cultural learnings of America for make benefit glorious nation of Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Guys, Caesar, ancient Rome. Obviously,
did the actual Caesar live here? Did the actual Caesar live here?
Sometimes you guys' ignorance just astounds me.
I know.
You know Ocean's 8 is going to be like 2.5 hours long and like super convoluted and just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess you don't
know. It's going to be the Ghostbusters of heist movies.
Yeah. I won't mind looking at Anne Hathaway for a while, though.
She's so pretty.
I love me some Anne Hathaway.
And Rihanna.
Yeah.
And Sandy Bullock.
Yeah, I like Sandy Bullock. I like Cate Blanchett. Helena Bonham Carter.
Sarah Paulson. Sarah Paulson can look gorgeous.
She's adorable.
I may or may not have Googled that. I mean, these days, you really got to be careful.
Yeah,
you do.
Let's talk about Solo, please.
I've met Matt Mahaffey.
Well, Dan Arbrock lives down the street from me.
Pod.
Mini pod.
Ah.
Solo pod?
Nobody had said the title of the movie, so I couldn't do a pun.
No.